on the Green Data Center podcast. This time we're going to talk about putting AI in the data center. It's a viable technology and it's penetrating every other market, every vertical, improving processes, looking at different insights, and powering all those apps and features that we use today. And it can do the same in a data center as well. Having artificial intelligence in the data center is starting to show its value. And again, this is not talking about human-like robots walking up and down the aisles, but it is about how to get all of your data in one spot to have a more efficient operating data center. But having AI in the data center might require more experimentation and back and forth than a lot of data center operators are really willing to put up with, especially if you're worried about uptime all the time. So for the data center, artificial intelligence can be defined basically as something that can perceive its environment, takes the input, and has actions that it can take in order to maximize achieving some goals of some sort. That's kind of that basic definition of AI. And for a data center, those goals are running that data center. So you can implement the AI for running your cooling systems, your power systems, monitoring, and what should happen when, but also the rest of your systems as well. And among those goals in the data center, you can start to look at how to implement across those different systems, and you can start to look at predicting faults or looking at what your capacity needs are or how your power systems are behaving, and you can do that preventative maintenance and get that done up front once you start to see some of those anomalies. Now, the AI is going to look at the data just like any person would, but there's some intelligence that needs to be built in there and some experimentation in order to make sure that that AI is sort of taught on the job in order to make it effective. The last thing you want to do is go ahead and implement AI, go ahead and buy something, and out of the box, it starts to be a problem to handle, those kinds of things. And there's a number of stories that you could probably read about as well about how AI has failed or, you know, failed to produce or failed to live up to its promise. Well, in the data center, you can't do that. You really need to start to learn and be at a certain level whenever you're starting to do that. And for the AI in the data center, the hyperscalers have really had that budget and the capacity to lead the way. They've got the talent that can go ahead and babysit that day in, day out. And for a lot of those small data center operators, it's just not something that, you know, can be done necessarily as readily. So we're getting there, though, as AI is starting to learn more and more about the data center and how to operate as well. But on the broader side of that, let's go back to just implementing AI in the data center and not necessarily running the data center, but what does it take for a data center to support AI? Let's talk about that for a minute, because the AI is going to demand a lot of computational power, and they're going to have these chips that are going to be specially built. Instead of having, say, general purpose chips that you sort of cobble together, you're going to have AI chips and sets and configurations that are put together specifically for a certain AI. AI is starting to come about where you already are purpose building certain things such as pattern recognition, or you're looking at security or robotics. There's certain like manufacturing automation that it can be implemented or driven more towards. And on the other side, you got language processing and other things that are going to be looking completely different as well. And that's that maturity as AI keeps going and improving is starting to be divergent as far as what you're going to have for those capabilities, as well as what those chips look like. But each one of them is going to take a lot of power. So putting those into the data center, you have to plan on that. And that goes into all those costs, that implementation, and everything that goes along with that to support just an AI learning platform. And as AI starts to take on more cases and getting more and more embedded with all the different industries, we're going to see this trend mostly continue, especially for what the data center needs to provide. And this means we're going to see suddenly a surge in more and more power. How much is this affecting lately? A lot. 5 years ago, AI, you know, if you had something as an implementation, it was kind of rare. You know, you were special, you were doing something, you know, IBM Watson or something like that would be the big thing that would be around for AI purposes. But today, we're seeing that start to be implemented across a lot of platforms, especially if there's promises on those sales of efficiency, performance, and those kinds of things for the customer. And they're going to go ahead and host it in a data center, provide that AI for a customer somewhere, and that data center has to support all of that. Well, again, that means that it's driving up that power and that networking need and everything that goes along with that. Now, the costs of the AI platforms are coming down year over year, and that's great because you can start to have AI that can be applied to a lot of different things where if you have to touch it and you have to touch it more than a couple times, look for a process to automate it, right? If you have to do something repetitively, how can we automate that and set that up so that you don't have to do that twice a day, twice a week, or basically you set it up, do it once, and then maybe you retrain at some certain point. And those costs coming down means that you can have tailored AI to do all of those things and have that custom automation for those different things and those platforms. And that automation, I think we're all looking for is like, well, hey, how can we automate all of these different things in order to take away some of those tasks, those repetitive tasks from staff? It doesn't matter if it's junior staff or senior staff. How can we take that away so that they have more time to do other projects that are more important or the next thing that the AI should be learning so that it can keep building upon that and make it better and more efficient? Google has had their DeepMind AI operating their data centers for a while now, for years actually, and they've put out a couple articles about this, so you can go and look that up, check that out. But they attribute the AI to cutting their PUE by about 15%. And if you know PUE, the PUE, you know, it depends on how low you already are. But that's a big percentage. 15 might save you a lot at an insurance company, that kind of thing. But for Google, this is huge across the board to have savings like that for a data center. And I think any data center operator would take 5% as well. But to have that AI operating, they had to do a lot of experimentation with it, a lot of playing with it. And they gave AI sort of the reins, so to speak, while they were the co-pilot and navigator. And they watched as the AI would control the cooling systems, their fans, their operable louvers, windows, etc., that were with their data centers in order to start to predictably control that. And the big thing about cooling systems is that prediction. So that's the key word to me, is able to understand what your data center is doing now with your power, and then understanding what your cooling is going to need as well. So having that prediction and being able to sense, you know what, we know what this is going to need based on the certain predictions that we have, we can go ahead and start incorporating things like the outside air temperature and humidity. And we can also do the particulates that are in the air to prevent any sort of damage to the servers. Those kinds of things. So if somebody is running, say, an industrial factory next door, or they have a forest fire or something like that is happening, you can go ahead and start to close things down, protect your equipment, and realize what that's going to mean for your cooling systems, but it protects things. And it takes a lot of that automation and a lot of that churn that a lot of the staff might be having to do, puts in the hands more or less of the AI to go ahead and start to do all of those things automatically. The big thing, though, is you still need to monitor all those things so that it makes sure to deploy in the right way. And using those temperature sensors and everything, that's one of the big integrator things that you have to watch out for on your AI. And there's a lot of different things that you can do with just your cooling systems and how that operates in your data center. So Google isn't the only one to do that, but they probably have the best experience thus far that's been published out there. Alibaba is another one that has a lot of their sensors and cooling systems tied to an AI, and that AI is basically specifically going after the energy savings, but they're also able to do that as a predictor for, say, different faults or what was an incident that happened. Why did we have a high temperature alarm at a certain time? It can also start to level things out. So instead of all these minor things being alarms, they start to weed out like, oh, okay, actually this minor one should be a major one. It requires somebody to go ahead and look at this immediately. And then here's three minor ones we can put off until this major one is done. Or here's three minor ones whenever the maintenance staff can go and check this out. Maybe there's an actuator failure at one of these, you know, these louvers or something like that. They can go ahead and check that out. And some of those major failures might be just loss of cooling to a certain specific spot within the data center. And it might say, okay, we're starting to see this, and it'll spit out some graphs. It'll spit out some information that's very precise, and it is identifying that as a cooling error, cooling issue that needs to be addressed. And it might not necessarily know. It might say, you know what, we have this hot spot and it lasted for half an hour in this certain section at this time. Here's the power, here's the cooling, here's what happened. And it leaves it up to the facility people to go ahead and check out. Then they can also follow up with the AI and tell it exactly what it was, so that that AI can say, oh, okay, here's an incident, it's new, let's see if any of these others sort of fit in that same box that come up in the future. Of course, you don't want any other cooling issues to come up, but you know, it's inevitable sometimes that you're going to have equipment failures. Something might happen, break down, totally unpredictable in some cases. But you can start to say to the AI, here's this case that was unpredictable. What can we do? What did we sense before it happened, when it happened, and then what did we do, and how long did it take after it happened, so that the AI can start to learn all of that. And that's something that people are doing right now, and they're paying attention to that, and it's going to take time for that AI to learn how to do that. So if somebody ever says, like, oh, an AI is just an if-then program, you know, with just a lot of ifs and a lot of thens, no, not really, because AI is learning all these things, just like you might assign somebody to do, to say, you know what, if we sense this anomaly, what should we do about it? Should we do predictive maintenance on it? Should we go ahead and tackle this problem in the same way, or is it different? And that is oftentimes not the routines that a lot of staff are doing, but a lot of staff are spending a lot of time trying to review this and tackle that data. The data is what the AI can handle, not necessarily understanding all of it or necessarily tackling everything that needs to go on with your cooling systems, let alone your power or other systems, but it can start to tackle that data and sense things and start to predict and see things before they happen. For the AI to operate in these data centers, we're going to need some standards that go along with that. How is it operating? What are the parameters? We need some bookends on this bookshelf here. How is that going to operate? How will it operate with all the different devices that are operating, whether it's different temperature sensors or different systems, and how do they talk to one another? All those devices and being able to even converse with one another and pull out information in order to come up with these graphs and such is going to be a process for the AI to go ahead and take on. So if you think about all those different things that go into an input, say in your living room, and you just want to operate your phone so that you can control your TV and your, you know, whatever device that you have that's say getting power or say getting all these different operations to your television to go ahead and choose something so that you get some screen time going, and doing that all from your phone. All those are different components that can be involved in that. Another example would be, say, cars and trucks, and all those different manufacturers are manufacturing different cars that are going to be more autonomous, not fully autonomous quite yet. But in order to get there, we're going to have those vehicles talk to one another so they can say, I'm at this spot right now, here's my GPS, here's what I'm doing, here's where I'm heading at certain velocities, certain distances that I'm looking to cover, how quickly can I stop, how can I avoid some of these other things that might be coming at me. All those different things with two cars just driving side by side really need a lot of standards to go with them. So if you have one manufacturer doing one thing and another manufacturer doing another thing, there might be a certain lag that goes in between that. Well, we need to have some standards to make sure that we don't have that lag on that communication between the cars. So we need to come up with something that's going to be predictable and going to be safe, that can be processed quickly so that that smart traffic, your car can go ahead and read everything that's out there, including those other smart cars, and help one another so that that standardization can help with the overall safety of all the passengers, as well as those that are outside of the cars too, that might be just bystanders walking around. But if one car sees them, the other one doesn't have that, nobody tells that second car, that first car might be blocking the view of that second car, and that second car wants to go through the intersection, thinking it's clear, of course, needs to slam on the brakes suddenly because that first car didn't communicate that there was something else out there. Those are just some examples, but those standards are what we're driving towards. How do we get those standards so that we can have those communications? The same for a data center. How do we make sure that we have those temperature sensors all communicating together so that we know that if something happens with a certain failure of a unit or a certain wave, how do we make sure that that on that standard can go ahead and react quickly enough, even though, say, the cooling systems don't need to react quickly, the electrical systems absolutely do. We're talking milliseconds, right? And if those standards aren't set up so that if one electrical manufacturer can talk to another instantly, we can start to predict that it's going to be too many milliseconds. Our equipment can only take 8 milliseconds of being without power before starting to have failures. So suddenly you have to start to predict against that and have the standards that can go against that so that you know that everything that is going to happen with a power shortage at a certain spot, everything that's going to happen with the batteries or the generators, anything that's going to happen downstream that keeps your data center up and operating, you can go ahead and start to predict that it's going to be reliable based on that AI standard that you implement. I mentioned a lot about cooling systems, and that's basically where a lot of the AI is being implemented because that is one of the best things you can do for your efficiency. And in order to implement all of that, you have to bring on a team or specialized individuals that are going to start to look at that and see how the AI is being trained, how it can be trained better. And those data scientists, those people that are really involved in that, really love that, and they dive into it to make the best out of it. And that's how the AIs keep improving year over year, is because of the time and effort that they're putting in. But it's not just for the data center cooling systems. You can also look at the predictability on how the data center systems are operating. Those network operations are going as well. And you can say, let's apply the AI to that network operations team, and that network pattern can start to emerge where you start to say, you know what, here's some fluctuations, here's some predictions, and we know around 6 p.m. this happens every time in this particular spot in the data center. We have a surge of power, surge of cooling required because of certain applications that are being run through that data center for a certain load. Something's happening there, whatever it might be, but you can start to look at that across your network traffic and say, you know what, here's some of those things that we're looking at. How could we ramp up to go ahead and meet that, not just on the cooling side, but on the power side as well, and ramp down the power operations needed, perhaps, on the rest of the data center during the rest of the day? So you can start to free up some of that power resource, that those operational resources, to go ahead and focus on some of those things, but also on the networking side to say, you know what, maybe we don't have full redundancy on this network, or what are some of those things on that network that we can go ahead and start to streamline so that maintenance is easier, any repairs are easier, and just operationally, it's easier to keep that network up. Those are some of those things that you can start to look at for AI being implemented. And that's where some of those vendors are saying, you know what, we can go ahead and do all of that. We can bring AI that will pinpoint all these different things, and we have these AI products that can do it. But you know, you definitely need to have somebody that's going to look at that and bring that to you so that you can start to say, you know what, here's how we want that data center to be managed. Here's some of those improvements that we're looking to be made. But once you get to a certain point, there's diminishing returns on the amount of time that you're investing. So where do you get to that point, and where do you say, you know what, you're really good now, you can go ahead and run everything AI. You can start to instead be sort of those predictors of issues that are coming up. And now that you've modeled everything and you've gotten everything really efficient, you can start to say, you know what? What are the solutions for some of the breaking or the fixing that's going on? How do we predict those things? On top of that, you can start to do digital twins and modeling. So that whenever you set up, say, like that network or that cooling system, you might have that network set up in the AI, and you can go ahead and peel back, open its brain and say, how is this operating? How can we streamline this a little bit? And you can look to do that step by step for the different things that that might be looking at, that AI might be looking at. And you can build up a digital twin and say, you know what? What if we did this instead? What if we change our network profile, our cooling system, whatever it is? What if we change this up so that it operates like this. What if we go with a water-cooled solution instead of this air-cooling solution that we're doing now because of the jump in the amount of cooling that we're going to need? What if we did that piecemeal? What if we brought in these different racks, and what if we upgraded the amount of kW per square foot or per rack, however you want to measure it? What does that mean? How can we predict that so that we can understand whether we might have an issue within that data center or within a certain row or certain aspects? And all that can be done with that AI saying, you know what? I've done this, I've operated it, and I know what's going on in this data center. And now I can start to give you some snapshots on what that prediction might be if you changed it in certain ways. And it's not just running, say, like a computational fluid dynamics model. This is actually AI taking all the data that you had gathered through time and operating the data center itself, or just even visualizing and maybe not even controlling as much, but absolutely monitoring everything. It can start to make predictions on how it might be viable if you make those changes within the data center. All right, you want to put AI in your data center, but what does that mean, right? You can definitely do that with several individuals that act as your points of contact that are going to be devoted to implementing that AI with those certain goals. Remember at the beginning, hey, AI is something that it's there built to learn how to achieve a goal. You can set those goals, and with the research scientists and others, you can go ahead and start to implement and basically sort of hand the keys over to another team, and they can go ahead and start to implement that AI with those goals in mind. Now, it might be a little bit loose at the beginning, especially as you're trying to figure out what does this mean, how do we get there, but by looking at things and what has been done in the past, that AI platform is probably coming from something else that's already been done. So you're not reinventing the wheel. What you need to do, though, is go ahead and train that AI so that that model or that AI that you put in is going to be used to the system that you're operating with. It might have come from somewhere else. It might have learned a heck of a lot and got a lot of experience. But as you bring it to a new building and a new data center, you're absolutely going to need to train it specifically for that data center. And that is something we're talking about implementing in months, not minutes or days or weeks. We are talking about a high sampling rate too. What do I mean by that? It means we're talking about having hundreds of temperature sensors going on for months and having all of that information coming in every minute or every 5 minutes, depending on what sampling rate that you can get. But the higher the better, it's going to be better for you for the control side if you can do that. Also, if you know what your operational controls are and you know how long it's going to take, you need to set all of those parameters as well. So say you have a valve or a louver or something like that on your cooling system, and you know it takes several seconds, say 15 seconds to open that louver, say 2 minutes to open a valve that might be really, older valve or whatever it is. You can't just slam those things open and close sometimes on your cooling system. You need to open and close them in a more specific manner in order to have certain flows that you need for the cooling systems. All of that data really needs to go into the AI, and it might need a while to be trained how to do so. And that means that you need to go ahead and set up all those sensors to say when things are there, what the flow is, how much is flowing through there. But on top of all of that, you have to trust your sensors. You have to say, oh, my sensors are absolutely spot on. There's nothing off from them. Oh, it's not off by 5% or 10%. It's spot on. And that can be really hard with hundreds of sensors, especially across a large facility like a data center. You may not have the most recent data center either. So your data center might be a couple, 3, 5, 10, 20, 30 years old. And you've got a lot of disparate systems and pieces of equipment that are operating together, and you find that sweet spot with your mechanical system, for instance, where the pumps and the chillers are operating in a certain way, where you have the flows, you have the temperatures that you need, because that design was originally designed for the reliability of that data center. And now you're trying to look at every percent that you can gain out of it on the efficiency side for that AI, and that's what it's hunting for. And it can start to make those incremental changes so that those standalone systems that weren't really meant to, you know, cooperate with everyone that closely, you can start to meld them into a tighter and tighter system so that you can get the best performance out of it. And basically, those control systems might have been set up to just say, you know what, hey, we're not controlling based on trying to outperform any certain metric. We're just looking to stay within certain parameters. We want to provide this much cooling with this much flow and at this temperature. So it might be just geared towards that, and not having that mutual coordination with, say, the air handlers or other things. And you can start to go ahead and implement that. Add in that AI can start to do that predictive maintenance, say, you know, oh, these bearings are starting to go a little bit off on, you know, we noticed this power, anomaly or something like that. You can go ahead and put in that AI to go ahead and consider all of that and sense all of that from all the data that they're looking at. It can be really difficult, though, to go ahead and retrofit on an existing facility, right? I mean, think about trying to implement an AI and you have that fear of upsetting something, you cause that chiller to shut down or whatever it is. But one of the things that you don't want to do, of course, is break anything whenever you have an already operating system. So that can be challenging just to set that up. And one of those keys is look at the sensors that you have, and not just in the data center, look at all the sensors that you can possibly implement, including those that you might have within the racks themselves, all the way up to those major cooling systems, but also on the power systems as well, and try to get it to act more holistically. It can be a nightmare if you try to have an AI for the cooling system and an AI for the power system and they don't talk to one another. Think about some of those DCIM processes and trying to get those to implement and getting those to understand one another and implement as well. And whenever they don't talk to one another, you can run into the same sort of headache where they're operating in their own siloed thing. And if you are doing that, you might cause one to upset the other and it might spiral out of control. So having one AI that might take a lot of input from another AI, that's probably the better way to go. But of course, each data center is a little bit different and the operators need to be a little bit brave in planning and going ahead and implementing these things, because it is something that you need to get out of your comfort zone in order to do. You are going to be experimenting a little bit, especially in the early days. And if you can go ahead and get all that information and start to realize what is happening with that AI and how it's impacting your systems, you can go ahead and start to look at how it can learn and grow. And hopefully you'll see that magic and it'll put a smile on your face to see, you know what? It realizes that, hey, we're going to really have a temperature spike over the next week. And that AI is going ahead and planning out how to do the cooling systems, how to do that economization and get every last hour of economizer mode based on what you might have for those predictions and how fast your system can react, how to get all of that implemented and it's all doing itself so that you don't have to run around and have to do that. I hope that that becomes a goal for a lot of the data centers that are out there and already running that are going to be learning from one another. And hopefully AI will be something that you can add to your data center if you don't already have it to do all of those things. Okay, we talked a bit about AI today, and I do mean a bit because it is a huge subject that keeps growing and there's a lot of learning and experimentation that is being done. We're going to see it more and more in every aspect of our lives, and that includes data centers, how they're operating, and how that data is really driving improvements across the entire data center. The power systems, the cooling, all the predictive maintenance, everything that goes along with that, the networking, and just the business operations. And it's going to be implemented and done in a lot of different ways, in ways that we might not even be considering or predicting right now, but it's going to be at the heart of a lot of data centers moving forward. So what those hyperscalers are doing and what those large operators are doing are going to trickle down, and a lot of people are going to be able to take that and have cheaper models that can be even better than what we have today. So think of what it's going to be next year, next 2 years. We are looking at the rise of AI in the data center, and we're going to see it more and more through time. Check out the website greendatacenterman.com for some articles and links to other resources, as well as some classes if you want to get more involved in the data center industry.